Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, hello there. An online job posting for special agents within the law enforcement branch of the Internal Revenue Service is causing a stir on social media as Congress prepares to pass a spending bill that would greatly expand the federal agency. A link to a job posting for criminal investigation special agents appeared to have been briefly deleted on Wednesday following online criticism of the posting's language, though it reappeared back online after a Fox Business inquiry to the agency. A key requirement for applicants is that they have to be legally allowed to carry a firearm, and major duties include carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary, and be willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments, according to the job posting. The requirement that agents will be using deadly force if necessary drew heated criticism online, although the same language appears in job postings for other law enforcement agencies, such as the FBI. The IRS criminal investigation special agent job announcement continues to be open on USA Jobs and was not taken down. USA Jobs is where these positions are posted and where applicants are referred to in order to apply, an IRS spokesperson told Fox Business. Well, that is rather alarming, the whole deadly force thing. I also didn't like the proximity to the word execution in that post. Here was the first comment I saw from that article. The entire government bureaucracy needs to be overhauled. It's akin to an immovable ship stuck in the Suez Canal. I just like that. I like that he used Suez Canal. All right, you have to ask yourself why. Why is the most important question in this day and age? Because it leads to critical thinking, or what is now labeled conspiracy theory. Why? Why are they announcing this now? 87,000 new IRS agent Smiths coming to crack down on American citizens. And why are they promoting the use of deadly force and arrest in the job description? And why are they deleting it, acting like it was an accident, only to repost it again moments later? Or pretending that they didn't mean to disturb and even frighten the American people at a time of a great recession, where most are struggling to feed their families and afford gas for their tank. Why? I guess the straight answer is just what's on the surface. They're expanding the IRS, and that job requires a certain tolerance for potential violence, and so necessary announcements are made. But just below the surface, the timing of it is so strange, it bears further investigation. The current administration has an all-time low approval rating, with midterms just around the corner. Announcements and rhetoric like this seem counterintuitive if you're trying to win the hearts and minds of the majority of the voting public. But with announcements such as these, you could even assume that that isn't even their priority. In fact, it appears to be a strident lack of concern in that regard. You are foisting this information onto a struggling world that gets no break from anxiety crushing down on us all in a myriad of forms. Inflation, food shortages, supposed environmental catastrophe, pandemics of many shapes and sizes, and strange new waves of injury and death, supposedly caused by too many naps or cold showers or the wrong kind of breakfast food. And let's not forget warnings about nuclear bombs in major metropolitan areas. So many to think about. I'm probably missing out on a few. And now this, an army of Agent Smiths who will use deadly force and must be comfortable with it. Why? Why is that the message? It's important to ask and to understand that things like this, announcement like these, aren't done by accident. It's yet another pressure point on the powder keg that is the collective human consciousness just trying to survive these times with body and mind intact, and dare I say, even some hopes and dreams. Remember those? But the hopes and dreams part gets put under attack by the unrelenting machine of toxic stress pushing us all into fight or flight, making us extra snappy like junkyard dogs poked with too many sticks, turning up the heat to the anxiety of the age. So why? Maybe it's just because that's what's happening, so announcements are made. Or maybe there is an agenda to agitate humanity on every level, even if it means becoming less popular at the polls, which makes you wonder how much your vote matters, or if by then there will be so much chaos, voting will not happen at all, because if society breaks down much more, and if some kind of catastrophe is introduced, the potential list of them is long, so take your pick. The introduction of martial law will mean things like voting will be suspended, and power will be held onto by those who are already in it, who are showing clear signs that they are no longer concerned with winning popularity contests. And that, perhaps, is the most concerning thing of all. They keep doubling down on chaos, and it's not hard to see that the looming threat of a real breakdown is surrounding us now, like 87,000 Agent Smiths in the Matrix of Madness. Send your emails to me, josepharthur@tntradio.live. And if you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT Radio website. We are also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, Heart, and TuneIn. Now there is no reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
Going 360 on the headlines.
It's really well-balanced conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Eric Fowler is an American guitarist and singer, songwriter, a composer, and a producer who is best known as a popular musical group, the Boxing Gandhis. Let's box with Gandhi and play the Boxing Gandhis. Let's box with Gandhi and play the Boxing Gandhis. He's also worked with such artists like Sting and UB40, Taylor Dane, and Clint Black, and Kelly Price. Boxing Gandhis, let's play the Boxing Gandhis. Hey, hey Gandhi, you want to take a swing at me? Let's box the Boxing Gandhis. It's Eric Fowler. What's up, Eric?
Hello, Sir Joseph. I loved your intro. Your monologue was just spot on, man. I think you caught everything that's going on in the world.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate the compliment. And thank you for coming on the show. Welcome back. This is your second appearance, so I really appreciate you. We are also friends, I think. I mean, we haven't really hung out in real life, but we've acquired a texting communication relationship and potential music making relationship over the lockdowns and pandemics. It's one of the new friends I've made over this time of also losing many friends. So I appreciate you in that regard too.
Likewise. Yeah. I mean, hey, we survived it, living it on our own terms. And that's, I think, what is the lesson, right? Everybody's got to do that. Everybody's got to decide for themselves how we're going to go through all these storms. Cause like you said, it's chaos, man, like on high, it's like chaos porn every day or something new. You got to like go, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just odd. It's like, it's just odd. Like I said, in the intro, it's the timing of it is odd. Okay. So maybe they just really need a bunch more agents and they're now it's why. Why announce that now, right before the midterms? Your popularity is at an all-time low. Everyone is struggling with inflation and food shortages. And the last thing they need is, more anxiety and stress that, you know, the government's going to be coming down on you hard with deadly force. You know, it's like, huh? Like, really? That's your messaging right now? And you guys had a meeting and said, hey, let's announce this. It's like, okay, it's concerning though, because it just seems a total lack of regard for reading the room, so to speak.
Yeah. What did you think about Andrew Yang announcing, you know, forming a third party that can kind of mix this thing up a little bit? You see any hope in that?
I didn't know he did that. I knew he came out saying that he thought the FBI, that he was one of the liberal voices that came out saying this FBI thing on Trump was maybe wrongheaded. I didn't actually read that. I think my friend Adam Ruckus Clark mentioned that to me. So, but I didn't realize he came out with this idea for a third party. Do tell. I mean, it can't be worse.
I think it's important that, you know, because remember back in the days of like Ross Perot, when Ross Perot came out, that was the last sort of legitimate possibility that we had that, you know, that's a third party could make it. And then I believe that morphed out into the Tea Party ultimately. And then, you know, if you look at like the history of where the disenfranchised from both spectrums sit, you know, whether you're on the right or on the left, that for me, that Tea Party always represented the people who were, you know, angry from both sides, finally standing up and going, look, it's not working. Republican and Democrat are the same corrupt thing, two different sides of the same slimy coin. The third party represents hope, I would think, for a majority of Americans now more than ever. That's, I guess, my point.
Well, yeah. I mean, idealistically, that makes total sense. I think I'm at a point where I'm so disillusioned with the system and I see nefarious agendas behind most things at this point that I'm maybe a little jaded, you know? But a third party, I guess, would represent a moving away from that jaded landscape. So I guess you would have to be like, what mood do you catch me in? I just kind of like feel like, oh, it probably doesn't have a chance because the system is so corrupt that they'll make sure that they get in the leaders that they want in until a major revolution occurs. And I feel like we're on the brink of that. And I feel like the globalists are pushing us in that direction. This thing with Trump seems like designed for that because they either have to, they have to come with some kind of charge against him or else they've handed him the keys to the White House. It strikes me.
Yeah, the FBI better come up with something really juicy coming out of Mar-a-Lago after that stunt, because I think there's already a distrust in the FBI simply for the fact that, I mean, I was just thinking in my own head, it's like, you know, the FBI investigated MLK, the FBI investigated John Lennon, the FBI investigated Malcolm X, the FBI bombed that Philadelphia neighborhood, the MOVE bombing, Janet Reno bombed Waco, the FBI, which led to the Oklahoma City bombing. And the FBI is not without dirty hands in a lot of stuff. And I hope someone's keeping an eye on that whole thing.
Well, and did you hear the report that there was like Trump might have had something on the FBI? So it was like a move to kind of usurp that information. But then there's also, I just saw another report that said there was something about Trump having like the sort of nuclear bomb plans or something, you know? And so I was like thinking, great, now there's going to be a nuclear bomb and they're going to blame that one on Trump too. It's going to be like,
well, no, it's like, you know, it's one thing to like take the towels from the hotel that you stayed at, but it's another thing if they actually have something. And I, you know, it's like, I'm not, you know, at this point, my whole political persuasion is riding the middle rail because I see like real problems in both parties. So I'm not going to go on an anti anybody rant. I'm just going to say that, you know, I want people's hands clean, whatever their job is, keep your hands clean, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just see so many like compromised people in these positions of power that it's hard to spot the good guys.
I wonder if you really believe that, just considering the state our country is in right now. Because to me, you know, I'm
that
also
there are good people.
No, I just mean I'm a former left guy too. You know, like I voted for Obama and was more recently red pilled, so to speak. And I don't identify as a right winger or a Trump guy at all. But at the same time, with what's going on with Joe Biden, the obvious like weird corruptive ties through Hunter Biden's laptop and the big guy and all that, the state of our nation, the state of inflation, it just strikes me compared to how we were existing, you know, what they're doing with the sort of America's ability to use its own natural resources, all these things compared to sort of what, you know, what the rhetoric what Trump showed that he was going to do or what he did, and then what like sort of DeSantis is at least saying. I mean, at least DeSantis is speaking out against a Marxist agenda and tyranny. He's talking about restoring America's ability to use its own natural resources and fossil fuels. I mean, all these kind of things that will help the economy recover. And I mean, without that, we're heading to, you know, it's a one-way ticket to Venezuelaville, you know? And so to me, I hear you. There's corruption on all sides and there's problems on all sides. But if we keep going down this Biden path, I see the breakdown of America happening in like 25 seconds. Whereas if we go the other route, it seems less dire to me.
I mean, I wish, like I said, you know, like the idea of like, and Andrew Yang isn't necessarily my you know, favorite dog in the fight, but I was intrigued by him and Buttigieg and a few of the younger, I call them thought leaders, where it feels like they can like hold two ideas, like two opposing ideas at the same time and make sense out of that. As opposed to like, you know, you get like a Ted Cruz or, you know, a Nancy Pelosi, it doesn't matter which side, like they get so entrenched in their own thinking that it doesn't even seem like they're considering what the other side's opinion might hold in terms of some truth. And so, you know, it's like, I was just thinking about it today, like, yeah, Biden spoke at Strom Thurmond's eulogy, gave the eulogy. Now, if anybody that, you know, it's like, I was just thinking about it today, like, yeah, Biden spoke at Strom Thurmond's eulogy, gave the eulogy. Now, if anybody that knows who Strom Thurmond was, he was quite a racist dude. So, like, I always felt like, okay, well, that means Biden has some credibility of reaching across to the other side that he probably abhors, but you know, do we have those people still who can bridge those divides? And then you solve the problem that you're talking about, which is we might implode because people are so polarized.
I kind of reject the premise that the right wingers are racist by and large. I mean, I know the racism exists and there are racists on both sides. I mean, Biden's been accused of being a racist and there's even like racist things he's been caught saying from that, you know, like this whole racism tag. It's just like, to me, it's been used as the ultimate smear. It's like, if you say, hey, I don't think we should take untested, you know, experimental injections, you get called a racist. So it's kind of like with racism, that insult is like the boy who cried wolf. It's just been, it's been thrown at every, like, you know, it's even set up to where if you say that the, you know, supposed environmental catastrophe is more propaganda to implement control, well, then that's racist too. I mean, so everything is racist. Now, does that mean there's not some hardcore racist on the right and, you know, and there's more tendency to it probably on that side? Probably, maybe, I don't know, but like throwing that insult so much, it's almost like you can't even hear it anymore. It's the boy who cried wolf. Exactly,
yeah,
that.
It's because lost. It's lost. They've it's taken, lost meaning now.
It's lost its meaning because they've addressed it with everything. Like if you, like I said, if you resist the COVID narrative, you're called a racist. If you say anything, it's the same thing with like, if you oppose to, you know, talking to kindergartners through third graders about identity politics regarding gender and sexuality, which you could say, hey, I think they're a little young. Well, you're a bigot. You're a homophobe. It's like, no, I just think. That's too young for that subject matter. That doesn't make me a bigot or a homophobe.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
it's like,
yes,
you know,
yes. We've been having that conversation here in our house.
It just loses all credibility. Let's go to a break. We'll be right back with. And when it's time to call somebody a bigot or a homophobe and mean it, it doesn't mean the same thing anymore. Let's go to a break. We'll be right back with Eric Fowler after these words on TNT.
You should hear what Shannon Joy is talking about.
The revolt in Netherlands by the farmers and in Germany and in Canada, the new ESG scores and the new sustainability goals that we're seeing in the United States of America pushed by Biden, this war on farming, this war on the ability for humans to access food. Some are called 10 years ago in 2015 with the adoption of rooted in a declaration that was put together almost 10 years ago in 2015 with the adoption of UN Agenda 2030. If you want to understand what is happening in terms of politics, you have to understand the United Nations, the UN Agenda 21, and the UN Agenda 2030. That is the framework for the Great Reset, and it lays everything out, and they've been at this for many, many decades.
The Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the-right-seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, Australia. There's never been a better time to check up on your health. We have a world-class healthcare system that's easy to access, even when you can't be there in person. Telehealth enables you to catch up with your GP or health professional, and the Australian government has now made it permanently available through Medicare. Show your health some love, face-to-face, by phone or video call. Care for your health. Find out more at australia.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Don't want the government to know what you're buying? Use cash. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Eric Fowler. Use cash, huh? What's
cash? Use cash, I like that. Cash money.
Use cash, man. Well, Amazon, or no, was it Whole Foods, are going to do this new palm reading thing where you can just wave your palm over the cash register or something. They're sort of like seeding the idea of the chip, I guess, something like that.
Yeah.
Amazon tech in Whole Foods. So we got a musical night tonight. We got your friend coming on, Fleazar.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Fleazar. Okay. And David Mills. They have an amazing new song, This Is Not America. And I met them.
I had
Eric.
Never heard that. Eric, it sounded awesome, guys.
It's amazing. I would go check out that video, not right now because you're listening to TNT, but after the radio show. And we're going to hear the song a little bit later on in the program. But I met them through Eric. So how did you meet them, and what's going on in the music business? Eric is an incredible guitar player. You don't have a guitar with you. You're on a golf trip with your son right now, right?
No, I'm back from the golf trip. We went up to Oxnard and saw the Dallas Cowboys training camp, and we played a round of golf at that golf course, which is nice, called River Ridge. Highly recommend it. And, just got to spend some quality time with my boy. You know, we had an interesting conversation on the way back about God. I had read somewhere that the idea of God, it comes from the two different sides of the human brain arguing with each other about the meaning of existence.
I heard that too recently.
Yeah, I think it was from a book, The Master and His Emissary is the name of the book, and it's by Ian McGilchrist. And it's a giant book. I just got it on Audible. I'm going to try to listen to it. But they talk a lot about understanding the two halves of your own brain, and that a human can actually survive with only one half. So when you've got both halves working, it's important to get them in sync with each other. So I thought that was an interesting concept to start thinking about the concept of God too, right? So on that note, I thought, you know, when you do your poetry, it reminds me of Ralph Waldo Emerson. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, of course, dude. That's a huge compliment, man.
So what I started to think about when I, like, just imagining you as like a poet, because that's called you a triple threat. You're actually a quadruple threat, because you're a musician, songwriter, you're a radio talent, and you're also a Ralph Waldo Emerson was a transcendentalist. He was one of the first American transcendentalists. And his whole thing was about how our existence really is our state as a human within nature, and then the concept of, you know, the divine, God, whatever you want to call it. And so I just want to kind of put that bug in your ear, that you are like a modern day transcendentalist.
That's amazing.
So rise above it. Rise above it, brother.
that is the message I take. Like, dude, there's a responsibility to that. I decided to write a poem every day, and here's what I wrote this morning. Am I doing this right? None of us know if we are doing it right. And that question, if we are doing it right or not, should be in the mix, but not dominate. More importantly is to do it than to not do it at all. So doing it wrong is superior. And who knows what's wrong or right? The wrong of today can be the new right of tomorrow. I suppose this is about perfectionism, which is fear hiding itself in the clothes of professionalism or concern. It's fear looking at itself in the mirror with a fancy outfit on and trying to pretend to be something other than what it is. It's difficult to quiet the world and write, and it's difficult to share what you write to a cold and indifferent world full of people who themselves are trying to overcome these very obstacles, who in doing anything at all pose the question to themselves or even out loud, am I doing this right? Well, if you're doing it at all, then you're doing it right. Or to put it another way, get going and then get good. It's only in the going and doing that you arrive at doing it right. And don't look for validation from the outside world or compare yourself to those that already have mountains of it. These are the pitfalls of creative action. Instead, march into the storm doing it wrong, being strange, because after a time that strangeness becomes a style, and after a while, it may be a long while, that style would become a signature on a world you've given birth to and shared, given birth to a vision like a tiny god. Am I doing this right? Who knows? We are tiny beasts in a vacuum under flames cascading towards oblivion, and in the final analysis, even if you're doing it wrong, what difference does it make? The point is to liberate your voice to help liberate other voices so that the fear turns to dust in the arms of freedom. Let's go to headlines, and we'll be right back with Eric Fowler after these words on TNT.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Taiwan has rejected the one country, two systems model proposed by China, saying only the people of Taiwan can decide the island's future. An Iranian national has been charged with trying to hire a hitman to assassinate Donald Trump's foreign national security advisor. North Korea has declared victory over COVID-19 after going 2 weeks without recording a single fever case.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Eric Fowler is an inspirational figure. Thank you, Eric Fowler. Well, thanks for inspiring me, dude.
Yeah, man. I wanted to make sure that, you know, you had that in the back of your mind when you're thinking about like what your role is in all this, because it's like there's way too much chaos and people are just like, they don't know what to do. And, you know, I think you know what to do, you know, meditation and just remain like maintain your inner peace in spite of it all.
So you're a musician of renown. And what's it like in your community where, like, are the tides changing? I mean, it seems to me that the rhetoric around all this is really changing, and then they're ushering in new forms of chaos and control outside of the COVID narrative and the injections, which seem to be like coming apart at the seams, or are coming apart at the seams, whether or not people are aware of that, depending on their news sources and whatnot. But it seems like it's coming out fast and furious. What's it like in your world in terms of music types over there in the West Coast situation that you're in and all that? Is it turning?
I mean, it definitely has mellowed out quite a bit. I mean, I don't know if between the last time I was on with you, I went to an NBA game downtown at Staples Center, now Crypto Arena, and I caught COVID. And I was kind of disappointed with myself because I did wear a mask and no one else in the arena had masks on. And I felt like, but I survived it. It was not, you know, like it didn't hit me that hard, but I'm in a band with some really great guys and we rehearse regularly and we test as a group before we go into the room together so that we can not wear masks together. And so that's just, I think, because I'm in a band with, you know, guys that have families and jobs, and they recognize the responsibility that each of us has to, you know, at least know if we've got it before we're getting that close with other people to maybe give it to them. And so we've not infected each other, and we've been playing, rehearsing together in a closed room space for almost 2 years now. So kudos to us for that. And I see, like, I'm not one to be wanting to play indoor gigs at this point. I'm loving outdoor gigs. Thankfully it's summer. I live in Southern California, so outdoor gigs are really good. I'm seeing a lot more of that actually, in Southern California, musicians trying to play more outdoor stuff. So I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, it does. Seems like it's mellow now.
It doesn't answer it because it's interesting. You're somebody who's very open-minded and you're on TNT radio, yet you're somebody who would wear a mask. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets like sort of, you know, tending to like most people who come on this program would be like, masks are bunk. They don't work. It's part of the propaganda. It's actually more damaging to wear a mask because you're sort of reinforcing this, the kind of fear that surrounds, I mean, that kind of behavior and it actually negatively affects your health. Let me finish this point because I'm not saying this to put you down. I'm actually rounding it into a compliment because this is the kind of thing we need desperately in our country is just like two people, like for instance, that see things differently, but also see some things the same, but also see some things differently. And it's fine. Exactly. It's like, I'm not mad at you because that's your take. I'm like, that's interesting that Eric has that take. It's different than my take. And that's great. I don't get the vibe that you think I'm like a scumbag who hates people because I have a different take on this than you. And I really just feel like that more and more needs to be, and that's on both sides because the reaction from the people that sort of the anti-mask people, of which I am one of those, you know, them starting to call people that acquiesce to certain aspects of this like sheep or this, that, and the other. I think that's negative, and I try not to participate in that. I don't really participate in that. I probably do here and there, but accidentally, you know what I mean? Well, and it's like, across the board. Yeah.
Keep in mind, I'm not vaccinated. I am unvaccinated. And I've had COVID, and I've had COVID twice. And so my biggest concern as an unvaccinated person was to, in taking that stance of saying, I'm not going to, you know, take that shot, was I needed to be above, like beyond reproach in some respects, in terms of my behavior in going out in public, so that it was viewed as I made my decision for how I want to handle my health, but I'm not doing so selfishly, with no consideration of other people. And so I felt especially early on. I mean, then it flipped. It turned into, you know what? I'm unvaccinated. I'm now more afraid of, you know, vaccinated unmasked people than I am, you know, of anybody, because they're the ones getting infected, it seems like. So it kind of flipped. And now I felt like I need to protect myself from you guys. You know what I mean? Which kind of was ironic. And I kind of chuckle at it a little bit because it's like, you know, I can't help but feel I've talked to too many people who've had adverse effects from that thing. And it's not allowed to be reported as such by the doctors. The doctors actually will tell you, I can't put down that is the cause. And that is troubling to me. So there's going to come a time when someone has to answer to the way that the medical establishment has behaved throughout this whole thing. Cause it seems to
it's coming. It's already here. It's coming. Doctors are starting to speak out slowly but surely. I listened to the Steve Kirsch interview before the radio program tonight, and he was talking about certain doctors are going like, how much longer are we going to pretend like that, you know, some of these adverse effects are just pretend like we don't know where they're coming from. Also, Mark Crispin Miller's Substack today, there was like a really eerie video that did I send you that? I'm going to send it to you if I didn't. I sent it around to a few people, but it was showing people, it's dark though, but it was showing people dying suddenly, like caught on TV. And it was clearly just something you've just never seen before. It was like, they're just like, you know, young people in their sort of 30s or whatever, that kind of age, young adults, and they're just either like news reporters just sitting there giving whatever, a news report, and then all of a sudden some weird look comes over their face and they fall over. I mean, so there was like a rapid succession of a bunch of these. And it's just like, no, that's not how people normally die. Like that, you know, people die and people have died across the history of time, and even young people, we get it. But this is obviously unusual and obviously a result of some unusual things that have happened recently, you know? So it's
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
So what else? I think we just can't trip. You know, now we got monkeypox, and then I think there's a new one that they just announced that just came out of China. So I think, you know, folks need to, you know, just not trip, because you're going to see more of this activity. It's going to continue. We're going to see these like shocking things hit the news because I think that's the strategy. The strategy is shock and awe.
Yeah, yeah.
Old term.
Fight or flight, to keep people in constant states of fight or flight. Yeah. There was a nuclear bomb PSA in New York City recently, and then there was a weirder one from California of a guy playing an acoustic guitar, and then the bomb went off behind him, and then it was a happy song and like a young, good-looking kid doing it, you know, and then go watch TV. I mean, just very, very weird. I don't think it's going to come from pandemics anymore. It's going to be an environmental crisis, you know, and I've interviewed a bunch of environmental experts on the program now. And so I've been real educated in that regard. And the concerns about the environment are also grossly exaggerated. And that's more propaganda used to implement total control. And, you know, and then who knows where it's coming from, but there's so many elements to the powder keg of chaos, you know, in terms of potential civil war. Now they're seeding this idea that the right is dangerous. And, you know, you get this guy from Ohio today, you know, going into the FBI there with a gun and getting killed. And, you know, CNN is reporting that they're looking at like Trump message boards and people talking about violence, but it's like they're
Project Veritas got a hold of an FBI training document that lists all the symbols of domestic extremism in the United States, and it's things like the "Don't Tread on Me" flag and the Betsy Ross flag and other things.
Cruz was confronting the Congress or some such branch of government and took his boot off and slammed it on the table.
Desk, said, "Yep."
Alex and Jones like style, and said, I got this flag on my boot. You know, what are you guys doing? And it's just the media is now painting the right as extremist, or anyone who, you know, chimes for freedom as a terrorist. It's just, it's clown world, upside down world, and it's total projection. Because
that's why the work that you're doing right now is so important, because you just said the magic word, the media. The media in the United States has been centralized under, you know, I think it's two main companies, Sinclair and one other, and local news, especially local print news across the country has been decimated. It used to be print reporters who broke, you know, stories about political corruption and the like. And so you've seen a lot less. And now you're seeing like people who are actual reporters, investigative journalists coming under fire. You know, they're getting attacked.
Julian Assange,
In foreign countries, they're going missing. It's crazy. So it's a brave sport to be involved with now, to be part of, you know, alternative news, especially. So I see that as a growth industry in this country for sure, because people are going to be hungry for truth, unbiased.
TNT Radio, baby.
Yeah, baby. It's good. You guys are doing good work.
I feel good. Friend. Well, it's an information war. You know, it's a war on many levels. It's an information war. It's a psychological war. It's a war. And we resemble a war-torn country now. You know, with food shortages, these are results of being in a war. Fuel prices, inflation. You know, there's going to be some form of lockdown, I'm sure of it soon. Be it from the environment, be it from a pandemic. It doesn't take much to imagine, you know, one more bit of chaos thrown in this powder keg and martial law comes in. They've decimated the police system. So crime is out of control. And all this stuff doesn't just happen by accident. You know, it's all a setup. And they've gutted the military as well. They've kicked out the portion of the military that refused the jab. So they kicked out the critical thinkers in the military, and they've imposed a bunch of woke philosophies in the military. So those are the soldiers that we're going to have, people that are easy for them to manipulate and control. And so it's spooky because you can see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I think, you know, what was it? John Lennon said, you know, the minute that they turn us violent in, you know, against each other or in any real forum, that's when, you know, they've won, they've beat us. So the real question is, how can people, you know, band together around a central ideal of, no, you know, we as Americans are not going to allow ourselves to become so divided against each other that it destroys the concept of what this country is about, which is, you know, multiculturalism. And, you know, we are America. We're the symbol of, you know, freedom in the world. And so that, I think, is where we need a leader who can come out and sort of kind of evangelize, you know, remind people of, you know, we fought the Civil War. We fought the Civil War already. And so
we're fighting,
you
know, we've it now, already, dude.
Yeah, I know. And so we're still fighting it. And it's like the 100-year war, really. Like, we don't need that. What we need is, we're smarter than that. We're going to rise above, just like what you were saying. Let's become transcendentalists and rise above all this weird chaos and just cherry pick the things that are the most important for us to solve and move forward, move ahead. I think that's the name of Andrew Yang's party, Move Forward Party.
Well, I'm all for moving forward, and I will check out what he says. I don't really know much about the man, so I don't have anything against him. But, you know, you said as long as they don't turn us violent, but they don't even need to turn us violent. All they need to do is create some false flags. I mean, I don't know anything about this guy in Ohio, but how hard is it to Manchurian candidate somebody into doing something extreme like that? Or, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that that's what happened either. I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, I read the propaganda coming from CNN yesterday, and it was all just about Trump extremism, that base, they're getting violent now, and then this happens. And so it's like, it doesn't even necessarily need to actually be genuine. It just needs to appear that way in the media, and then they paint that picture, and then they keep, like, campaigning that story over and over again, the way that they did this COVID narrative, and then they just create that reality for most people. And then the only people that question it are just doing what I'm doing now, going like, I wonder if we can trust the media, which the answer is absolutely not, you know, but yeah, then right. You get called a nut job. Let me go to break. We'll be right back with Eric Fowler after these words on TNT.
We're saved. A professor has found the root cause of climate change. And you guessed it, white supremacy. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio. Stay tuned.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Dr. Jacqueline Gill of the University of Maine has now claimed that, quote, the root causes of climate change are capitalism, white supremacy, colonialism. Gill is an associate professor of paleoecology and plant ecology at the University of Maine. If Dr. Gill is correct, the only solution is for the whole world to go Marxist. Yes, that's right. Give up your freedoms, your rights, and listen to the centrally planned economy. But here's the catch. Even if we give up all our freedoms to fight the alleged climate crisis, the weather and climate will not notice. This professor joins two NASA scientists in claiming the same thing, that white supremacy is a driver of climate change. Yes, all a day's work in the wacky world of climate. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band.
We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is TNT Radio, where you meet the entire menagerie of mankind.
And some who haven't yet been cataloged.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Eric Fowler. So I just said a mouthful. I don't know if you want to, like, comment on that. And I'm hoping you'll maybe play a little ditty for us, too, before we come to a close. And also, if you want to sit in on the next one with Dickie, you know, that'd be more than welcome. We do it gut felt style, group style. It's up to you, though.
Gut felt. Yeah. So what were we talking about before we went to break? We were talking about.
Well, I was just saying the media can paint whatever picture that they want. I mean, that they're clearly orchestrating a campaign now that is painting. They have to make up headway in terms of, you know, Biden's popularity is on an all-time low. The country is in a state of desperation. You know, the narrative against Trump in the last election was, you know, he's this out of control personality and his tweets were awful and he's an awful human and all that other stuff. That was the narrative on him, right, from that side. But that in and of that won't work anymore when people are having a trouble feeding their families and affording gasoline. That's really where people are going to vote from, and they know that. So they need to implement some real chaos in order to even have a chance at winning the next election, to make people forget about the fact that they're going broke. You know what I mean? So of course they're going to propagate this whole bit about how, you know, right-wing extreme racist, and look at how like crazy they're being now, like this whole, you know, FBI descending on Trump. This is all perfectly orchestrated.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, so my eyes have been on things like the mortgage rate, which just went up to 5%, you know what I mean? And the jobs report and the economic indicators that you see now slowly, gas, you know, prices are down like a dollar, I think, over the, or yeah, they've gone down a dollar within like the last 5 weeks, I think. And so clearly there's a move to pretty up this picture because they realize midterms are right around the corner. And so chances are, you know, I think that Nebraska Roe v. Wade thing was a big litmus test. Like, can they drive Dems to the polls with the Roe v. Wade thing? Yes, that worked in that one state. So maybe that bodes well for them the rest of the way in the midterms. But to your point, things are not looking good for a second term, at least for an aging Biden who has really not looked 100% in a lot of, you know, the TV appearances.
That's
that
putting
he's
it
had.
Mild. So, that's, he's, I know, shaking, right? Hands, so, with ghosts,
I know,
dude.
It's, I know. It's like, you know, I mean,
you're putting it mildly, but I appreciate this perspective, though. I got to tell you.
I'm just trying to be kind. And so he did his job. And so who would they put up next to get him out of there? And it's probably not going to be Kamala Harris. But, and then on the
Michelle
flip side,
Obama from, or Hillary.
Yeah. Is Liz Cheney going to kick into gear? I saw a Dick Cheney ad on CNN or Fox the other day of him like saying Liz is, you know, she's great, we love her, and she's going to lose, but she's probably going to run and for the big office, and she could very well win. I mean, let's not think, you know, don't think that that's not a possibility. Her and DeSantis, I don't know who she runs with, but so that's something to think about, you know, that she could take that whole thing away from Trump. You know, and her dad can help with that, I'm sure. So, I mean, those are kind of how I'm reading the tea leaves. Like, it's probably too late to save the Dem sinking ship, just for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of angry, you know, pissed off Republicans. They do feel that something was stolen the last time around. And so they're going to come out in full force, and it's going to be harsh. This next election cycle, the next the midterms, so and leading up to.
You seem to lean on the left. Do you think that was a legitimate election? I mean, do you think that Biden really got more votes than any other political candidate in American history? I mean, that in and of itself, regardless of anything else, seems a bit of a stretch. Like, he walloped Obama in Obama's heyday. And Obama was like the Beatles. I mean,
well, remember Biden. Hanging Chads? Remember Hanging Chads in Florida?
Yeah,
you know, Al Gore was supposed to be the president. Would we have had 9/11 with an Al Gore presidency? I don't know. And so, yeah, I have a problem.
You're dodging
with
the question.
Saying that we've had some questionable things go on. Bernie should have been the nominee, not Hillary, by all accounts, right? For that last one. So there's a lot of uncertainty in how these things go down. It feels like they're predetermined.
Yeah, of course.
On some
but
level.
I'm just saying, so, yeah, I won't press.
Yeah.
You,
so
but.
So I'm not going to go down, you know, cause I've heard all the stories, you know, there's like suitcases of votes getting wheeled out from underneath, blah, blah, blah. Or there's, you know, people dumping you know, absentee ballots into ballot boxes and stuff. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I mean, but
I just mean straight up Biden doesn't seem like the most popular presidential candidate in U.S. history by a long way. That's all. Like, that seems that little, like, let's focus all the noise down to that point. Like, he walloped Obama in Obama's prime, and Obama in his prime was the Beatles of presidential candidates, dude. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like, so really, Biden was way more popular than Obama in his prime. It just seems unlikely.
I think it takes $2 billion to win the presidency in the United States. I think that's the latest number. So, you know.
All right. Well, hey, man, do you have your guitar nearby?
Oh, man.
No.
What do I have?
You're not prepared. We don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, is Dickie on board? Let's get Dickie brought on.
Well, Dickie's ready. We'll do that at the end of this next break, at the end of this segment. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, so what are you? I'm hearing that there may be some more Joseph Arthur music coming. Do you have anything?
I have some. I have some releases. I have. There's this new song we're gonna premiere on TNT tonight. It's called The Knockout, and it's a good one, man. It's a doozy. It's not overtly political. Yeah, it's not overtly political, but we're going to play Dickie's song as well. This is Not America. And I mean, that's like, watching that video was like, it's incredible, because it reminded me of like some of the best kind of like late 80s rock and roll videos. It was like just that kind of song. It just had that, thing. I mean, we could play. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say Dickie. So Dickie, what Dickie represents for me, besides being like a great human and a great drummer, I mean, he was the lead singer, and he is the lead singer on this song, and he's killing
right.
it. And he's an expat. So he brings the perspective of someone who came here, and I think that's the point of the song, right? He came here from another country, believing that this was America, was the promised land, and it is the promised land. And so he's asking the question, right? Like, of, is everybody paying attention to what's going on here? Because it seems like things are shifting in a way that, being a European, I mean, Europeans are very wary when things turn kind of weird politically, right? Because they've been through it. Yeah.
So he's also been the drummer for Great White recently, up until the pandemic. And he's played with lots of luminaries. I have his bio dialed up. He's a big musical industry force, and he put out this song, This Is Not America. And Eric told me that he's been making waves on Facebook, sort of bucking the system, saying on social media that he doesn't agree with every single thing CNN says. And you know, the results of that on social media can be alarming, right? Let's say. I laugh at
CNN now. I can't even watch it anymore, because it's a little bit too
state television, dude. It is. It's big pharma state television, dude. So anyway, Eric called me up or texted me, or group texted us actually, and said, hey, Dickie's been going through some wildness, and maybe you guys should link and talk about it. And since, you know, like, sort of support group style, as I'm somebody who's in the music business that taken wallops way back in the day. By the way, my case just got filed against the LA Times as well this week. So I'm officially suing the LA Times for defamation, which should be interesting.
So that's an exciting little turn of events.
Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, guys, you could have at least done a follow-up piece, right? Since things have calmed down a little bit, maybe in retrospect it wasn't maybe there's more to the story. Like,
that maybe I was right, maybe my concerns were valid. I don't know. I mean, I wonder about that, like, if people consider, like, the people that have gone hard to the paint in terms of, like, there was that one letter, I don't know if you saw it, it went kind of viral. Del Bigtree read it on his program, which was this lady basically saying, like, hey, what we did to people who bucked the system in terms of the vaccine was horrific. That's one of the worst fallouts of this whole time. She really, like, mea culpa'd her premise. And yeah, and I was making my point with somebody last night on the program. They were like, yeah, it's hard for people to do an about face. But I was making the point where it's like, actually, no, man, if somebody does an about face, that's like high respect for that person. I have instant respect. There's no like, oh, never mind, F you, you did this, you said this, you were wrong. No way. It's more just like, wow, you're a big human being. God bless you. Much love and respect. We can all be wrong, especially when there's a massive campaign and a mass formation psychosis agenda. Right.
Yeah, we were all exactly. scared. I mean, get it. Have you talked to him? Have you reached out and asked him, like, hey, bro, like, any thoughts on us, you know, having a follow-up conversation to kind of right that wrong?
No, because righting the wrong is going to happen in a court of law. All right. Eric Fowler. He, are you going to join us for the next hour then?
We're going to do a big... Yeah, I want to sit in.
Okay, because we got Dickie Flizer, I think is how you say his name, Flizer or Flizer, and David Mills also. And they have a new song, This Is Not America. And we're going to talk to them. And Eric Fowler is going to stick around. And we'll be right back after these words on TNT. Stick around. This is going to be good.